You're on, right? Amen. Happy Fifth Sunday. I like it. I like it. So, my name is Steve, as it was just expressed, and it's good to be among friends. You know, it's good. I know almost all of you in the room, and if I don't know you already, stick around. Let's be friends, right? We can be friends. If you're new to Grace Fellowship, just, you know, consider making us part of your friendship circle. You know, we're filled with the Spirit of God. We can hear from God. We can hear for you. We can hear with you. And we'd love to pray with you and just do the things that the saints do with each other. Amen? So welcome, everybody. And so a little bit of what we're going to talk about today has to do with this portrait that we've been given. This is a mighty and an awesome portrait of the Most High God. You see, God was the one who decided to reveal himself. If not for that, you wouldn't know a lick about him. But he chooses to reveal himself in his word, in his spirit, in his presence. But we're going to talk about the portrait that he left us. We're going to talk about the tool shed that he left us. Daddy's tool shack has been left unlocked. There's stuff in here that's for you. Stuff for your life that all you have to do is open it up and start farming. Am I mixing enough metaphors for you here? I can keep going. I got a bunch of them, but we can look at this and we can see the face of God. We can look at this and we can get help in time of need. And it's just telling us what God is going to do. So it's not disconnected from something living. It is alive, but it's also connected to the living God who said it and who will do it. If he said it, he's going to do it. Say amen, somebody. Amen. It's the mother lode. Anybody ever pan for gold here? Me neither. But it's the mother lode, and you can get all the gold you need out of here. It's just a matter of being a little bit deliberate. I call it Daddy's tool shed, the portrait of God. Because you can get anything you want out of it just by opening it up. 2 Peter 1:3, we're going to start sharing a little bit. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Ephesians 4:8 says, When He ascended on high, He took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Everyone hold up your Bible. Your phone. You have a gift in your hand. Well, we've all heard, most of us have heard, sports figures and people talking about, like football players, you know, we're going to leave it all on the field today. You know, a baseball player saying, we left it all on the field. You know, we didn't hold anything back. We didn't spare any tricks. We came up with all the plans, all the tricks, even the backyard football tricks that we used to play. We pulled them all out, and we brought them to bear on the situation. We put it all out there, all of their skills, talents, strategies and tricks were employed with 100% commitment, spending themselves completely to win the contest. The thought is for that day or for that moment, for that purpose, there was nothing left undone. Enter God Almighty, the one who truly left it all on the field. Did you know that? That God is the one who put it all out there. He didn't hold anything back. He didn't even spare his only begotten son. The good thing is that he wasn't exhausted when he did it. The good thing is he's still doing it. He's still putting all of it out there. Can you say amen? No contestant in all creation could hold a candle to God, the one who truly pulled out all the stops and left nothing undone in the most critical contest of all, the reconciliation of God and man. When it came to our reconciliation, God spares nothing at all. He spares nothing. He even parks his spirit here in the earth with us. He said, I will never leave you. He said, I will send you another comforter. You know, he's not done. It doesn't matter how much he puts out on the field. He puts it all out there, and he's not done. Come on, say it. He's not done. He's just getting started. Every day, you think he used it all up yesterday. You think, well, you know, I've had plenty of blessings, and I don't know if God's got any more blessings for me on this one. This one, I might have to do it myself. No, God's still not done. He'll never be done until that day you walk in, you take your picture off the wall, and say, I'm here, God. When it comes to our well-being and our eternal destiny, he's all in. He created the light that shines on our eyeballs and the breath that fills our lungs and the ground that yields its crop. He has endured thousands of years of our transgressions, our mismanagement, our misbehavior, and only to show us, you and me, the highest form of loving kindness, taking our sin and giving us eternal glory. Taking our worst and then giving us his best. What kind of God is this? His best is Jesus Christ. He sent his firstborn, his first string quarterback, for all you sports lovers, his only quarterback, to redeem man with his own flesh and blood. Just imagine the conversation they had beforehand. Before Christ came to the earth, I can imagine the conversation where God says to Jesus, you know, there's going to be this one particular Friday. It's going to be rough. In fact, the whole weekend's going to be rough. But it's going to be good. And so Jesus came and endured the brutal suffering and crucifixion at the hands of the men he came to rescue, the ones that should have listened to him and loved him and celebrated him. And who can adequately speak of his resurrection? The God who came to pay the highest price ever known, wearing a man's suit, calling himself Jesus, willingly submitting to torture and a hard, hard, rocky grave, later to rise from the dark to forever shine as our champion. Our forever companion. He is our forever home. And then he ascended. Then he turned around, he ascended, and he gave gifts as he was leaving. He does not leave you as an orphan. What could be better than having fellowship with the living, tangible, you know, Jesus that you can touch? What could be better than that? Just imagine the disciples there with Jesus every day. They can touch him. They can undo his sandals if they want to. You know, they can cook for him. They can eat the fish that he cooks. They're able to touch him face to face. How many times have you wished for that? Yeah. But what's better is when he left his spirit to come and dwell in us. What could be better than the physical Jesus is the actual God living inside of you. The disciples didn't have God living inside of them. They didn't know what it was like to feel the Spirit move like he does in you. So what gifts did he give? He gave apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists for the equipping of the saints, for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. But he didn't stop there. What I'm bringing you today is kind of an awareness that I stumbled on just recently. The Holy Spirit left with us comes with an endless armory of weapons and tools. I call them power tools. An inexhaustible storehouse for us to use and employ and assimilate into our lives. To arm us with everything we need, he gave us supernatural powers. He gave you supernatural powers. He didn't just give it to Morris Cirillo. Anyway, I probably shouldn't name names, you know. People start checking out. He didn't just give it to Sonny Argonzoni. He didn't just give it to Charles Spurgeon. He gave the Holy Spirit with an endless armory of weapons to arm us with everything he needed. He gave us supernatural powers. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." That's a gift. That's something you can unwrap every day to demolish those strongholds. The weapons that we fight with are not weapons of the world. They are mighty through God, another version says. Mighty through God. It's not about our cunning. It's not about our cleverness, our tactics, our human reason. It's about the big guns he gave us. It's about the big gun that God is, the Holy Spirit. He gave us the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a big gun. That's the power of God unto salvation. When you're speaking out the gospel, when you're translating or transferring the gospel to somebody else, it's the power of God to salvation. What is it now? 1990. It's that many years ago that the power of God unto salvation hit me flat in the face. And it took me out. It took me out of everything that I was. I wasn't looking for it. I was just looking to make some things right. I was just looking to be normal. And what I ended up with is anything but normal. What I ended up was hooking up with God, who doesn't want me to be normal, who doesn't want me to be just your everyday Joe, your everyday Steve. I didn't know what I was getting into, but you know what? I'm glad. Some other big guns are faith and hope and love. Faith is a big gun. Faith is something we pursue, but it's also a gift. It's something you can cultivate. You know, faith is like a muscle, I've heard. You know, if you do about 200 squats, you're not going to feel strong that day. But you're going to feel strong and maybe a week later. You benefit. You benefit from that. You exercise faith and it pays off the next time and even that time. It pays off. God comes through because he loves faith and he loves the fact that you stand in faith and hope and love. Working of miracles, that's a big one. Working of healings. The power to forgive, that's a big gun. That's a big tool in the shack. what I'm finding out is there's more. But all of these are hidden to us if we're not exercising. They're not going to do us any good if we just let them sit. Sometimes the road gets long. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get disappointed. We get tired. We get frustrated. Nobody here, but just the people listening on the podcast. But we get frustrated. Then maybe we get complacent. Maybe we get frustrated and we get depressed. Or we go missing in action. Saying to ourselves, not to anybody else, but we're saying to ourselves sometimes, I've been there. I've kind of done that. And we're tired. It didn't work for so-and-so. It worked for so-and-so here, but it didn't work here. I don't know. What am I going to do? You know, it's just a lot of work. We're never saying it outwardly, but we feel it sometimes. We can become blind to the bright light of heaven. And somewhere on the road, we stop taking up the weapons. Somewhere on the road, we let things go by the way. We stop looking for the power in our lives, and we just want to go through the motions. We don't play the cards he gave us. God spread all the cards on the table. Here's another metaphor for you. Spreads all the cards on the table, and we don't pick them up. We sit there with a small straight, not even a full one, 2 through 4. But we don't draw the cards. Just recently, one afternoon, I found myself pushing back against my own complacency. I found myself pushing back against the tiredness because it's been a long road sometimes. Lately, there's been challenges. But I find myself pushing back against that complacency. I started rebelling against the coldness of my heart. One afternoon, I just got home and I don't know what happened. I don't know why it was that day, but I just started feeling, I started moving towards my room and I said, God, I'm coming after you. I said, I'm coming after you. Enough of this wishy-washy stuff. I'm going to get all of you. I had a very strong desire, hunger for more of him. And I find myself calling out to him, calling for more, saying, God, I want more of you. And it was just me and him. And it was honest, and it was earnest, and it was raw. But then I heard God, I felt this nudge saying, Steve, have you gone after everything I left you? Is there some things you've left undone? Are there things in my tool shed that you've left untouched? You know, a lot of times we get our favorites. Like we like to set up a little bit of music and we like to have our coffee and then we'll read a psalm or we'll listen to a podcast sometimes we have our favorites. And even that can get old. We have to keep mixing it up. Because I believe I'm bringing something here today that's a little bit different. It sounds the same. It sounds like a replay of what you could have heard 10 years ago. But in that meeting, God showed me. He said, you've left some stuff off. This wasn't God saying, okay, you know, you have an obligation. He was saying, here's an opportunity. He wasn't chastising me for not keeping all the plates spinning. He's saying, well, can we look at a couple things? It's not obligation. It's opportunity. It's not performance, but it's a privilege. We've been given a gift that keeps on giving. Man, I'm full of cliches, but it's a gift that keeps on giving. Seriously, you know how many times you can hear something and you hear it 100 times and then that 101st time, it hits you. Well, I believe that's happening here today. I'm just going to go by faith. So lately I've been gripped with this sweet admonition to look and listen for the person of God and to look and listen for the power of God in different ways. He was showing me something that afternoon. He said, I want you to be a little bit more deliberate. He says, I want you to ask, where am I? Because I can come to God. I come to God, I say, God, here I am. I like what Adam Peacock said, Hanini, here I am, God. I come boldly. Here I am. Here am I. But God says, well, do you know where I am? Why don't you ask me? We have a privileged responsibility to search out the powers that God left behind us, for us. He left the tool shed wide open, folks. And what happens if you leave the tool shed open and you don't use any of it? Collects dust. The batteries lose their charge. Maybe a raccoon gets in and starts messing things up. Little fox that chews on the vine. So you can leave all the tools and everything God has given you for your life to build yourself up and edify. You can leave it, but what happens is nobody's going to come and arrest you. Nobody's going to come. God isn't going to send you a threatening email. He'll let you have your way until he decides that he's going to prompt you by his spirit because he loves you. He's not going to let you go on like that forever. Maybe he'll do it. What he did for me. Steve, do you really want more? Have you gone after what I left you? So I ask you today, have you gone after him? We have our favorites, but have you left anything off? Are there things that you could explore still? This is a loaded question for me, but when is the last time the word fast came out of our mouth? How about forgiveness? Have we left that off? We think we've forgiven everybody, but maybe that person. You know, it's just hard because I live with them and I see them every day. It's hard to forgive because they keep leaving the toothpaste open. What have you? That's hyperbole. That's not real. But that's the thing is that, you know, we can misuse or not use at all what God has left behind for us. So I ask anyone listening on the podcast or here, have you pulled back? Have you let the flow of life chart your days like water? Maybe you are ready to go after what God holds in his hand for you. And so I said all that just to come around to this one thing that I'm bringing you today. Is that it's time to reclaim the things that God gave us. Like the words of Paul saying to Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God within you. In other words, fan into flame the powers that God has made available to you. Timothy had to rehearse. Well, how was he going to fan into flame? Was he literally going to get some cardboard and there was no actual fire? except Paul was saying, fan into flame what was given you. And that's the gentle, sweet admonition that God was giving me, and I'm sharing with you. It's time to reclaim the things that God gave us. Dust them off. It's time to revive the power of God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. It's hard when you're of no help to someone. When you try to help, and it just falls flat, that's hard. But we're going to strengthen things. We're going to strengthen ourselves first. We're going to put the oxygen mask on first. There's another metaphor. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So if we believe that, is there anything God placed at our disposal that we've gotten and forgotten about? What I'm about to share with you has been a little groundbreaking for me, breaking up the hard soil of my heart. And really, what it is just a different way of looking at the tool shed. He gave me an illustration. He showed me, he said, Steve, look in your Bible. Open it up and just start reading. And I started reading something like in Ephesians 2:10. I think I was on Ephesians 2:10. And it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So I'm happening upon this, and I just start to pray. I say, God, thank you for the power of your handiwork. Say, thank you for the power of handiwork, God, that I am your handiwork and that you give me that power to reproduce handiwork in the earth. Thank you for the power of handiwork. Thank you for the good works, Lord God, that you're leading me into. You go before me, Lord, and you set up breadcrumbs. You set up little triggers that are going to lead me into praying for that person or giving them a word or fixing somebody's tire. So then I just keep praying. Thank you, God, for the power of your handiwork in me and life around me. Thank you, God, for preparing a work for me to do. Thank you that every step I take brings me closer to the great work you have for me. Because I am in the earth and you are in me. And then to go on reading in another place, Mark 12, verse 30 through 31. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. I call this the power of loving God. God has given you a power to love him. He didn't just command it. That command comes with grace to do it. All of the power comes from God. And it's the power of loving God that I was hearing right there. So while I was reading, I'm saying, thank you, God, that I love you. Thank you, Father, for the power of love in me to love you. Thank you for that you first loved me, and that's the only way I could love you. And I do love you, and I thank you for the power to love you. Thank you for the power to love you with all of me and not just parts of me. So you just keep going. So I just kept going. Just pulling stuff out of the air, supposedly. Just pulling on God's promises, pulling on the language that he was giving me. Just keeping him before me. Just reading through a verse. There's things in there that if we're paying attention, we stop and we see. We see that there's a power in it. Finding that it's really easy to do because the power is in the gifts that God left us, and they're everywhere in Scripture. big guns, little guns. But the minute we pick them up when we start rehearsing them, they grow. They gain momentum. Are you guys following me? Like the power of kindness or the power of seeking first the kingdom of God. Thank you, God, for the power of seeking you first. I walk in that power. Or the power of being one with God. Hallelujah. I am one with Jesus and one with God. Thank you for that power, God, that never I never had before. Thank you, Lord, that I can walk in that power. Yes, God. Or maybe the power of evangelism. The power of persuasion, the power of evangelism, like saying, maybe thank you, God, that you've given me that spirit of invitation. The ministry of a reconciliation is a spirit of invitation. You're inviting people to the party. And that's a power that God gives you. See, it's not just knowing the promises, but it's picking up on wherever the promises, wherever the giftings are, as you're reading. See, and it's connected to the Word, because this is alive. See, I'm looking at, I've got the book of Jeremiah open right here, Jeremiah chapter 1. And it just happened to open up. I'm going to demonstrate it for you. It says, chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Thank you, God, for the power of being formed by your hand. Thank you, God, for the power of being a consecrated one, that I'm consecrated, formed by your hand, and consecrated by your spirit, God. Hallelujah. There is nothing foul about me because you have consecrated me. There is nothing dark about me because I am consecrated by your will. See how that works? I'm going to give you another example. Are you okay? I'm just turning anywhere. Let's go to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 14, when Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. Thank you, God, for the power to be touched. Thank you, Lord, that I have the power to be touched by your hand, God. It's not just for everyone else. I can be healed, Lord. I have the power to be touched and healed by your hand, God. I'm trying to give you something here. Go somewhere else. Haha. Matthew 19, okay? Verse 4, and he answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? I don't know how popular that verse is these days, but. And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Thank you, God, for the power to become one flesh with my wife, God. Thank you, Lord, that power is given from heaven. And Lord God, as much as we, as much as anything gets in the way, life gets in the way, God, we have the power to become one flesh, and we do. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You see how this is working? I'm just calling on the power of God wherever I see it. How about the power of the tongue? Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I thank you, God, for the power of the tongue, that I speak life. Thank you, Father, I speak life, and life springs up. People are healed and helped. Thank you, God, that when I use my tongue, it's for good and not for evil. Thank you, Jesus. You guys follow me? Yeah. about the power of being still. That's a big one for me. You can ask my wife, that's a big one for me. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Oh, thank you, God, for the power to be still. Well, I don't have all day, so we'll keep moving. How about in chapter 10 of John, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I thank you, God, for the power to hear your voice. You have the power to hear his voice. You were born again for that reason. You were born again to hear his voice. I was born again to hear his voice. I thank you, God, for the power to hear your voice and to follow you. Thank you for the power to follow you, God. Not just to say I do, not just to hear you, God, and not do it, but to be a doer of the word, to be a doer of what you tell me. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You set something before me, God, and I will do it. Don't make it too hard, but set something before me and I will do it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to wish any difficulty on myself, but God, thank you, Lord. You train me, Lord. You lead me from faith to faith and glory to glory. You take me from the smaller to the greatest, Lord God. Thank you. You know how to train me, how to hear you. You know how to train me to follow you. And that's what I've been feeding on. My desperation, my rebellion against being tired or complacent has been answered by God showing me how to do a little farming, how to glean something from just every place he's taking me. I may not get as much Bible reading done as I used to, because everywhere I go, I stop and I start praying. I just agree with God and what he's given me. I agree with the portrait that he has painted for me. I agree with the tool shed. I'm dusting them off. I'm not talking about doing them all at once. I'm talking about taking what he shows me that day. Being thankful. Being thankful for the gifts. God left it all on the table. He left it all on the field. Pick your metaphor. God left it all out there. And he did it in love. He did it in love so that you and I would have what we need for life and godliness. He's given us all things. What does that mean? He gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We can absorb his word. We can hear his voice. We can do what he wants us to do. You know, there's someone here right now that God wants to tell you, no weapon formed against you will prosper. That, if I'm hearing correctly, if that betrayal in business, that is not your ruin. God has a turnaround. He has a gift at the end of it all. Why doesn't God take all of our problems and get rid of them? Because they're necessary for us to get promoted. They're necessary for us to get through the other side and to win. If there's no challenge, there's no victory. God wants to lead you in triumph. You've been battling for a while. Don't get tired. Start farming. Start farming the word. Start looking in the tool shed and recognize that God's speaking to you through all of it. Don't ever spend another day just reading the Bible and wondering, well, I checked that off my list. But meet with God. If I've heard a preacher say, if the word doesn't lead us to an encounter, we're not reading it correctly. So I guess that's what I give you today, is just a suggestion on how to encounter God in your reading. Did anybody get anything out of this? Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord God, and I submit this, God, to you first. Jesus, thank you for the ears that hear. Thank you that we have the power of hearing, that there are ears to hear in this place, Lord. And even though we have not seen yet, God, we know that blessed are those who believe yet have not seen. Thank you, Lord, for those who are waiting right now for their breakthroughs. Lord God, that they continue to stand. They continue to farm your promises. They continue to look into the law of life, God. They continue looking into your word, what you've given them to focus on, to keep their eyes on, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that business effort turning around, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for that malady, that long-standing malady being broken right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for healings in the room, God. I release healing right now into this room. I release healing right now, the power to heal is here, God. You left it behind. You left it in the tool shed, God, and I grab it, and I say, be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Lord God. We submit this to you in the name of Jesus, mighty, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.